Fantasy Focus Football is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico and see all the ways that you could save. Happy Friday. It is November 4th. Field, Mike, Stefania, the usual Friday crew. It's been a bit of an adjusted crew over these past couple of Fridays, but good to see both of you this morning.
Yeah. Nice to have the band back together for Friday.
Mike, feels good.
I'm feeling mixed emotions for the city of Philadelphia.
Okay.
Got a nice Eagles win, and the Texans covered, by the way.
They did, yeah.
I was on an island on that one. I actually thought the Texans would cover. They did. But Phillies fell short. I watched the ninth inning again, so is that enough?
You're the problem. Yeah.
Is that enough?
It might be like that you are the problem here. However, Mike, two things I've learned about this Philadelphia Phillies team is that they are very resilient, In baseball, weird things can happen. We'll see what happens in Game 6 and 7, both being played in Houston. We're going to preview every single game here for Week 9, one of 2 weeks this year in which we only have a total of 13 games. One was played last night, so we've only got 12 more to preview, but let's review last night's game. As Mike mentioned, the Philadelphia Eagles do win. 29-17 was the final over the Houston Texans, a game that was actually tied at halftime. The Texans frisky out of the gates. I'll be honest with you, though, guys, from a fantasy perspective, nothing was surprising to me from this game.
No.
The Eagles that we counted on, pretty good, Mike. The one Texan we counted on, really good. Stefan, you may have heard of Damian Pierce once or twice, right?
I tried to tell you people before the season. But no, it's fun to watch him. I mean,
yeah,
he's
awesome.
Just fun to watch, you know? Even better if it's on playing for your fantasy team.
And you'd think on a night in which if I were the Eagles, my game plan would be to let somebody not named Damian Pierce beat me. They still did not have great success slowing him down. He had 139 rushing yards, zero catches, which was kind of a bummer, and obviously did not find the end zone last night. 13.9 fantasy points, so nothing to be upset about, Mike. Anything else to report here?
I was going to say it was his lowest fantasy point total since week two, so maybe they did a little bit kind of contain him. But I think my biggest takeaway, you're right, there was nothing really shocking, right? It was a down game for Devontae Smith. You know, he's been boom bust.
Right?
Yeah, he's been boom bust. My big takeaway was them red uniforms with the red helmets.
Pretty sweet.
Like them.
So
they're
just
sharp.
For those that maybe didn't watch the game because they were watching baseball or for other reasons, Jalen Hurts, 20 fantasy points. Miles Sanders found the end zone. We told you a big day was in store. He had over 15 fantasy points. A.J. Brown also found the end zone, nearly 16 fantasy points. Dallas Goedert looked tremendous last night. 8 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown. He's right there in that tier, just below the Travis Kelce's and Mark Andrews of the world. And then Damian Pierce, 13.9 fantasy points, all via the ground.
By the way, Miles Sanders, 6 touchdowns. That matches his career high. Wow. He's delivered in that
department.
That's
actually the one that I was thinking about last night as the one sort of curiosity is that Miles Sanders, who told people not to draft him on their fantasy teams this year, actually has been a pretty consistent fantasy producer.
Yeah, bait and switch right
season.
There.
I think
the
it
bait
was
and switch.
Yeah,
he
that was
trying to tell you guys, don't draft me because I want to get me in like the 5th round this year.
That was passive aggressive. Like, fine, you want to complain about the last couple of years? Don't draft me. You'll see what happens. All right, now he's rewarded people who did take a chance. So.
No major injuries to report from this game. So again, fairly chalky 29-17. Eagles improved to 8-0, first time in franchise history. Let's get into our game previews, and here's how it works. Every Friday, we give you the players that are lineup locks, we give you the injury information from Stefania, and then we dive into a couple of question marks for the game. We begin in Atlanta, Chargers, Falcons. Chargers traveling across the country coming out of their bye as far as lineup locks are concerned. And I'll always mention the players that are lineup locks, even if there is an injury. We'll discuss that in just a second. Lineup locks, if they play, Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, Kyle Pitts, somewhat begrudgingly, but still, there are only so many tight ends that you can trust.
Six teams on a bye, right?
Six teams on a
plus
bye.
Plus Dallas Goedert's off the list now because he played Thursday,
But a lot of injury questions here, Stefania. And let's begin with the ones that I think we have more clarity on than less clarity. Mike Williams for the Chargers, out.
Yeah, Mike Williams is out for multiple weeks, so this one, no surprise.
Keenan Allen still not practicing certainly tells you where this one's headed.
I think if you're not following Lindsay Theory on Twitter, you should be. And Lindsay Theory covering the Chargers for us. And yesterday she reported that Keenan Allen said that his hamstring got worse during the bye week while training. And he does not want to return on the snap count. He only wants to return if he's 100%. Said he felt great going into week 7, but still not 100%. We had talked about that he felt like he couldn't explode because of that hamstring. Well, now he goes into the bye, and we think, well, he's going to come out of the bye and be 100%. And no, he ends up aggravating his hamstring while training. Now there's a really big question mark about when Keenan Allen will return. I'll just throw in Josh Palmer on the back end because we're talking about him too with a concussion. Now, he has cleared the concussion protocol, as has Donald Parham, their tight end, if you need another tight end. But still not 100% that Josh Palmer starts. I think he likely will, but that's a
it's a
tough situation there, especially with Keenan Allen having this. I tweeted this yesterday. The NFL injury data tells us that every club in the league will have two or three players who have a hamstring injury at the start of the season, preseason to start of the season, that will linger throughout the year. And it will be the holy grail of injury management if we figure out how to manage these better. But Keenan Allen has already had not one but two setbacks with this injury.
We'll discuss the wide receivers in just a second. A couple of more injury notes, those to find you. Cordarrelle Patterson back at practice this week. Unclear, or is it clear whether he'll play this
unclear.
Sunday?
I've been exchanging messages with Michael Rothstein, who covers the team for us, and he said they'll have a better idea at practice today, but there's certainly a possibility that he plays. This is the knee that he had an injury on, went on IR, and is now in that activation window.
Last one, because everybody got the notification last night that Chargers running back Austin Ekeler had been downgraded to questionable because he popped up on the injury report. My understanding, Stefania, not currently believed to be serious. Do you have any more context to add?
No, I think, but Friday practice will tell us a lot.
Abdomen injury for Austin Ekeler, but again, from what I have heard, and we'll see just how much things change today, the initial belief, not serious, would certainly be a big blow because he has been the best running back in all of fantasy football. Now let's get into the question marks, Mike. And the matchup could not be any better for Justin Herbert and the passing game of the Chargers. What's the value in Josh Palmer or any other Chargers wide receiver, assuming Keenan Allen is out?
Yeah, how about the matchup? Most targets, catches, yards, fantasy points to receivers. Is that bad?
That's bad.
I would say that's pretty bad. And it is a good matchup for Josh Palmer, who suddenly the number one receiver, assuming he plays, the number one wide receiver for an offense we thought would be maybe top three, top five in the NFL, right? So he has been inefficient so far this season, 5.7 yards per target. That bothers me a little bit, especially since you think defensive coverage might lean a little bit more toward him. But he does have 7+ targets in 4 of his last 5 with Mike Williams in the lineup. So you're chasing volume here. You're chasing a good offense here. You're chasing a good matchup here. He's a borderline wide receiver too, and maybe there's room for more if he makes a leap.
DeAndre Carter also on the radar here this weekend for the Chargers, assuming Keenan Allen is out. If you are in a deep league and you are desperate, and by the way, with 6 teams on a bye this week, you might be desperate. We talked about Cordarrelle Patterson, the uncertainty there, Mike. Let's just see the two scenarios here. If Patterson and Tyler Allgeier play, does that kind of nuke the value of both of them? Because you suspect Patterson won't be 100%, but he's going to chip away enough at Allgeier, who up until last week was a zero in the passing game as well.
Yeah, plus Caleb Huntley has run the ball pretty well, maybe better than Allgeier, right? He's been efficient. They continue to mix him in. So this could be three running backs, and maybe Avery Williams gets two targets. Like they have a whole bunch of guys that they could try to work into this backfield. I would try to avoid if Patterson and all of these guys, if he's active. If he's out, you know, you can lean more toward Allgeier, coming off a career-high 17 touches. They don't really throw to the backs. We talked about this yesterday. They don't target the backs. It's going to limit their upside a little bit. So Allgeier, if Patterson is out, fringe RB2. I won't go much further than that.
Yeah, we'll see on Patterson. They have to activate him by 4 p.m. on Saturday afternoon.
By the way, great matchup. I should add that. You know, if Patterson Chargers, is out, more appealing, second tremendous. Most fantasy points allowed, it is a good matchup.
And I have zero doubt in my mind, zero whatsoever, that the calculus for the Falcons on Sunday will be this. We're going to slow this game down to a snail's pace. They're going to run the football as much as humanly possible against, even without Mike Williams, and likely Keenan Allen, a very, very, very potent Chargers passing attack. We're going to discuss the Dolphins and the Bears in a moment, Stefania, but...
But Hot Ticket is brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seats Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats. Life happens live. This week's hot ticket is the explosive Dolphins heading to Chicago to face the sneaky fantasy viable Bears.
And let's begin by taking a look at the lineup blocks, as we always do. And there are a lot. They all happen to play for the same team, as the Dolphins up there for the most fantasy-friendly team in all of football right now. Tua Tagovailoa, Raheem Mostert, Tyreek Hill, who is wide receiver one this week in our rankings. He's been so good. Jalen Waddle, also been tremendous. Even if a little bit hit or miss, you know the upside is just so good. And Mike has told us about this this Chicago cornerback group in the past. Not that they're necessarily, like, they haven't been terrible if you look at the metrics, but part of that is because they faced so few passing attempts against them. No major injuries here is fine. That's good news. No major injuries to report,
know,
right?
I know. I mean, Raheem Mostert gets a day of rest. This is pretty consistent.
Yep.
Jeff Wilson Jr. showed up on the report, but that's just because he just arrived in town. And Jalen Waddle on the injury report, but fully practicing, so no worries there.
All right, so big question marks here, Mike. I think none bigger than Justin Fields, because in a week in which, again, six quarterbacks are out, that includes the likes of Dak Prescott, who has been one of the best fantasy quarterbacks over the past 4 or 5 years or so. Coming back from injury was really good this past week. He's unavailable. You've got guys that continue to struggle, like Brady and Stafford, etc. What do we do with Justin Fields here? Has he crept up into streaming territory for this week, or is there something about the matchup that maybe dissuades you?
No, it's not the matchup. I mean, I think he's definitely in the streaming conversation. Miami's allowed the seventh most fantasy points to quarterbacks, so we've seen quarterbacks produce against them. He does have 3 straight top 10s, 4 straight top 12s. A lot of that's been done with his legs, though, and you worry a little bit about the passing upside. He has not gone over 208 passing yards in a game this season. And also, he has 7 passing touchdowns and 3 rushing touchdowns, so a total of 10 in 8 games, right? So a hair over 1 per game. They're better the last 2 weeks, but will that continue? That's the question. Can they keep this going? And maybe adding Chase Claypool does help things for them. So we'll keep an eye on that. I don't think he's a lineup lock yet, despite the recent success. I want to see it a little bit longer, but he is a streaming option this week.
Yeah, I'm more optimistic. You have him as quarterback 14. I have him as quarterback 11. That, of course, accounts for Jalen Hurts being removed from our ranks last night. So nearly a top 10 option for the rest of the week, in my opinion, is Justin Fields. These two running backs are really interesting right now, Mike, because it seemed like we were gravitating towards maybe a 50-50 split, and Khalil Herbert has been really good when given opportunities. But last week, it was the David Montgomery show. Do you forecast to be the way things will be going forward?
I think maybe 60-40 is probably the way they're leaning. Yeah. Montgomery just continues to be the lead guy, and he has 15-plus touches in 4 straight games. So he's still secure as a starter. He's been targeted quite a bit more. His target share at times, especially early this season, was pretty solid. Khalil Herbert has been super efficient this season, but he only has 7 targets, and that includes games Montgomery was out. So they're not throwing to him. It's going to limit him a little bit. This is a tough matchup. Miami has not allowed much on the ground. 3.8 yards per carry is second lowest. They've been exposed a little bit more against running backs in the passing game, right. So that's better for Montgomery than it is for Herbert based on how they've been used. So I think Montgomery, I have him 16th. That's an RB2. Herbert, I have 30th, so that's maybe a flex option if you're in a rough spot.
Yeah, and Herbert's probably been one of the most popular players in our chat. People are asking, like, the numbers tell you he's been so good, but how concerned are you about the volume and the fact that David Montgomery is still the go-to guy in this backfield? Mm-hmm. I think that's reflected in where he is ranked. Although I am higher than Mike, I've got him as RB24. Mike has him at RB30. As far as pass catchers go in this game, we've told you with the Bears, tread lightly for now. I'm not quite there with Chase Claypool yet. I'd like to see him play one game before I understand exactly what I think the role will be, even if I am optimistic for the rest of this season. Highest ranked pass catcher for the Bears remains Darnell Mooney at wide receiver 33 for Mike, 31 in our ESPN consensus ranks. And then Mike Gesicki has kind of quietly moved closer towards being that tight end one type player, Mike, but not quite there in your rankings at tight end 14.
Yeah, he's trended up with a couple good games there. Durham Smythe was out, and then he wasn't fully healthy. Smythe was back to basically a full go last week. Gesicki's snaps plummeted to 44%. That was his lowest since week 3, and he had 4 targets and wasn't as productive. I think he caught a touchdown, but still, a guy playing less than half the snaps and not seeing many targets, and they're focusing on the receivers. It's tough for me. So it's just the state of tight end puts him on the fringe radar, but he's not a must start by any means.
And as far as tight ends go, again, taking away the very obvious guys at the top of the board like Andrews and Kelsey, I don't know how many tight ends are better bets to potentially score a touchdown than Mike Gesicki. He's just so good in the red zone. He's a former volleyball player. The guy has this, like, he's got the go-go gadget arms, right? He is really good in the red zone, which is why he has scored a few touchdowns over the past few weeks.
And to your point, Tyreek Hill has 2 touchdowns this season, right? He doesn't get the ball down in that area. It's a lot of shot long plays. I mean, his expected total is like 2.5, so it's not even like they're throwing it to him near the goal line.
Yeah.
So
when the field condenses like it does in the red zone, it's easier when you've got that, you know, probably 6'10 wingspan like Mike Gesicki does. Let's get to the Panthers and the Bengals. This game should be fun, right? All of a sudden, the Panthers playing good football. The Bengals needing a win at 4-4 right now. There's some lineup locks here. Deontay Foreman, DJ Moore for the Carolina Panthers. And then on the Bengals side, Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, and T. Higgins. Higgins did not have a great week last week, but we expect better days here. Stefania, the Foreman news is impacted by the availability of Chuba Hubbard. Do we expect him back on Sunday?
He said he likes his chances for coming back this week. Remember last week he didn't practice at all, then ended up not playing in last week's game. This week back, limited practice so far. And we'll see what he does. Friday's always a big tell for these guys who are limited during the week. You know, you wonder why we can't say for sure. Well, Friday is usually a good day because they're trying to see who they have working out for availability on Sunday. So we'll see what he does today.
If Foreman's RB20 with Hubbard accounted for, Mike, what is he if Hubbard sits?
Yeah, and that's what I was just going to bring up. You know, 2 weeks ago, Hubbard was the lead back, right? Until he got hurt in the fourth quarter, he was leading in pretty much all areas, even like goal line work, I think, was even. Passing situations, he had the lead. Carries, he was the lead back. But has Foreman earned more now? Right. I mean, after last week, you would imagine that he probably does. But does that mean 50-50 or 55-45? I think in an offense that doesn't score a lot of touchdowns, I know they've been a little better. Turned into a bit of a shootout last week. You know, that's fine, but generally they don't score a lot of touchdowns. I don't know. I don't feel quite as strong about Foreman, especially because non-factor in the pass game as well. Zero I don't expect him to see many targets, so I'm not quite as high. But to your point, you know, if Hubbard is out, we're going to bump up Foreman, probably a strong RB2.
Yeah, Foreman, by the way, did get a rest day this week. That's how good he's been. They're already like, you know what? Take your time here, man.
Well, look, at least the Panthers are learning.
Keep that body fresh.
They never used to give these guys rest days, and now we've seen them do that, so...
And the Panthers are pretty good about letting us know as far as whether players will play or not. On Friday, Steve Wilks set to address the media later on today. A couple of Bengals that are question marks. Tyler Boyd, who comes in at wide receiver 26 for Mike, wide receiver 22 for me. Back-to-back game to the touchdown here, Mike, but the volume last week wasn't as great as you were hoping for.
No, only five targets. It was a rough game.
I mean,
Joe Burrow had no time to throw. He got a garbage time touchdown, which if he didn't, would have been a very disastrous fantasy outing, but he bailed you out a little bit there. But look, with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase active for all but one game this season, of course, Chase missing the last one, he's wide receiver 15 this year. He's been awesome. So he's 26 on my board. You're starting Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, and if you're looking for a tight end that's useful or usable, I think Hayden Hurst is a reasonable option. Mm-hmm. He's got over 8 fantasy points in 4 of his past 5 games. And before you say, wait, 8 points is the threshold to clear for tight ends?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
I'll take that. That's fantastic. Right, have you started eight. Kyle Pitts this year? You know, 8 points is
Kyle
fantastic.
Pitts. Certain Juwan Johnson in the War Room League. Don't tell me about Kyle Pitts props here, man. I'd like to get a catch out of my guy on Monday night. Colts, Patriots, lineup locks here include a player that is perhaps the biggest injury question mark of the weekend. That, of course, being Jonathan Taylor for the Indianapolis Colts. Michael Pittman Jr., right around wide receiver 20 in our consensus ranks. For the Patriots, Ramondre Stevenson and then Jacoby Myers. Mike will tell us or has told us about how it's a difficult matchup for Myers on Sunday, but still wide receiver 25. Let's get in, though, to two major injuries here, Stefania, as far as running backs are concerned, but Jonathan Taylor being the biggest injury of the weekend here. What's going on in Indy?
This is just a reflection of how these things go. I mean, an ankle sprain that people assume it's not a high ankle sprain, so it's not going to be a big deal and he's going to come back. And he just hasn't been able to get to 100%. I think he's aggravated that ankle and trying to train for it. Not practicing at all this week. And I think that tells you what you need to know. I do not expect to see him this weekend.
Yeah, so Friday practice hasn't yet begun. Yep. We'll get information here hopefully in the next couple of hours on Jonathan Taylor.
I would not plan on him.
And one thing we do know, which is such a bummer, obviously, for Jonathan Taylor, who obviously has underwhelmed when he has played this year other than week one. But as we talked about on yesterday's show, people took solace in the fact that Jonathan Taylor had been so durable. As we also talked about yesterday on the show, yeah, you're durable till you're not, right? Like, just because you haven't missed a game, it doesn't mean that you have some sort of magic potion that allows you to stay on the field forever, right? Let's begin.
Especially when the nature of your injury is something like, and I do want to point this out because it is different, right? That he had people fall on his ankle.
Yeah.
And that is exactly why he got hurt. It's not like he pulled something because, he hadn't been training or conditioning well enough. This is part of football. It's a collision sport. These things are going to happen.
He gets hit more than any other player in the league, right? I mean, maybe him and Derrick Henry because
his durability's been.
Derrick Henry, he hits the other people. That's true. He's like the Walter White gif, like, I'm the one who knocks. Yeah, like, he's
true. So maybe Jonathan Taylor does lead the league in terms of hits.
Making his durability thus far pretty remarkable. But this is just, unfortunately for him, this is the year that it hasn't come to fruition.
Before I catch, before I ask Mike about Deion Jackson and Stefania, we have not seen Damien Harris this week for the Patriots.
Illness is keeping him out of practice so far this week. So we shall see Friday, another big day for Patriots.
And we already have Ramondre Stevenson as a lineup lock. If Damien Harris is out again, it only fortifies that this is the Ramondre Stevenson show. Mm-hmm. He has been unbelievable over the past few weeks, not just as a runner, but also as a receiver. Mike, let's talk about Deion Jackson, though, because if he plays in place of Jonathan Taylor, he has shown he can be a very capable fill-in.
He did. Week 6, he was the number one scoring fantasy running back. Now, he did have 10 catches in that game, and we don't expect him to come close to that now with Sam Ellinger in there and, of course, Matt Ryan out of the lineup, but he did have 22 touches in that game. And the week before, he actually had 17 touches against Denver and put up 91 yards. It's a really good defense. So, and by the way, passes the eye test, too. Just watching it, 220 pounds running between the he looks great. So I think he will get a pretty high chunk of the usage, maybe 70% of the snaps. You're going to see a little Philip Lindsay mixed in. Maybe Zach Moss. I would assume Philip Lindsay's called up from the practice squad. Zach Moss is on the roster as well, but that's it. They traded away Nyheim Hines, so it should be Jackson.
Would you play Damien Harris if he returns to practice today? Because, again, even though he's been on the field these past couple weeks, Ramondre's just been so good. It's becoming, the Ramondre show.
Yeah, and I have him 26 because, again, six teams on a bye this week, but and he does have 17 touchdowns in his last 16 games. He's always going to be a candidate for that. So I would rather not, but especially in non-PPR, he might be one of your better options.
Yeah, I wonder, like, if he returned to practice today and was a full participant, was off the injury report, I might feel different. But if he returns today and he's still limited, it's like, maybe they do curtail his snaps a little bit on Sunday, and with the way Ramondre has been playing, would not be the worst strategy. Let's get to the Bills and the Jets. This game being played down at East Rutherford, New Jersey. Lineup blocks are very Buffalo heavy. Josh Allen, you're going to play him. Devin Singletary, you're going to play him. Stephon Diggs, you are also going to play him. He has been very, very good. No Jets yet. Especially with no more Breece Hall for the rest of the season, Stefania, and it sounds like Corey Davis could be out again on Sunday.
Yeah, not practicing at all. Not expecting to see him.
So the Jets' wide receiver room, which hasn't been particularly busy for fantasy recently, other than Garrett Wilson's nice day last Sunday, perhaps will once again not be that busy. But Mike, let's discuss a few old and new faces in Buffalo. Nyheim Hines, who is set to make his Buffalo debut, we expect. Do you think this is a game where it would be logical for him to be involved for Buffalo, or could this be a game where they're playing with a fairly comfortable lead throughout it?
I think they're going to play with their new toy, probably, try to get him involved a little bit. It sounds like Josh Allen's pretty pleased with the acquisition. And again, we talked about this a couple of days ago when we recapped the trade deadline. The Bills throw to the running back more than you probably think. Devin Singletary is 12th among running backs in targets this season. The Bills as a team are 12th in running back targets. And five times this season, a Bills running back has seen at least five targets. Good stat there from Kyle Soppy. So, you know, Hines doesn't have major upside. We know that. But I think he'll have a pretty heavy involvement in passing, obvious passing situations. They probably try to get him 3-4 carries, maybe 3-5 targets in this game. Is that enough to start him? I don't think so. Not this week.
You know what I think with Nyheim Hines? We don't talk about this as much in the NFL, but I'm a huge NBA junkie, and they always hear a lot of analysts talk about, like, is this more of an 82-game player or a 16-game player? And when they refer to 16-game players, this will speak to Stefania's affinity for the Warriors. Like, Andre Iguodala does not keep coming back to Golden State because they need him to grind out 22 minutes a night during the regular season. They need Andre Iguodala to play really good wing defense and make good decisions and be a visionary passer and be a mentor for the young guys. When the postseason is there, that's when he makes his biggest mark. I almost feel like with the Bills, they're making the playoffs. They are going to make the playoffs, and I think they'll be the number one seed in the AFC. Nyheim Hines is the kind of player that you add, not because you need him to catch five or passes a game throughout the regular season when you're up 21-0 or whatever, up 14 points late in the fourth quarter. It's when you go to Arrowhead, or if you're hosting the Chiefs in the playoffs, or you're playing in the Super Bowl against the Philadelphia Eagles, and it's a game in which both teams are moving the ball with great effect, or the 49ers, whatever it is, right? It almost, that to me is what this felt like. It was the finishing piece, finishing touch on the masterpiece that is the Bills roster.
I agree. I think they've done a great job of that since the offseason, just filling those little holes that they had on the roster. So I'm with you. I think that's when he's going to be most appealing, is when we expect it to be a high scoring or very close affair.
So I was talking about this with Scott Clark, one of our great bosses here at ESPN last night before the game with the Eagles. And we were discussing just like Devontae Smith and like, how would you characterize him? Because you can paint sort of whatever picture you want numerically with some of these guys. Same with Gabe Davis. And you guys know about my tears feeling coming into the season. And I don't know if it's tiers, buckets, categories, but I kind of feel the same way about Devontae Smith as I do Gabe Davis. He is a very strong flex or wide receiver two consideration for your lineup every single week. I don't care what the numbers were last week. I don't care what they were the week before. What I know is that Gabe Davis is capable, even on four catches, of putting up 115 yards and a touchdown. I also know that there are going to be weeks where he might get you three catches for 32 yards. And the analysis is, if you have him, you're probably going to play him. That's as far as I think is really worth dissecting. It's not a bad secondary he's facing this weekend, but the Bills, who cares about the matchup? The Bills are the Bills, man. They can do whatever they want offensively.
Yeah, I agree with you. He did have a season high in targets last week with seven. It's a good point in the right direction. The production wasn't there, but at least he had the targets. That's a good sign. But you're right. You want to start guys like that because he could win you the week. He puts 31 on the board. You probably are going to win your matchup. By the way, it is a tough matchup. Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed have been terrific on the perimeter. I'll give you that. But I'm with you. He's exciting upside.
Mike, there's a lot of players that fit into that category. And sometimes we can overthink it and say whatever we want about the matchup or the numbers or what. You play him because you know that player is very capable. He's shown it plenty of times before.
Yeah, but there's not as many people with that ceiling in the tier he's in, right? Like Devontae Smith and like Mike Williams. He's already up there, right? We're already ranking him like top 12, top 15.
Sure,
Gabe Davis is like a flex option who, you know, he might hurt your week, but he has that massive ceiling.
I would just say like there are certain players that like, even when Terry McLaurin was struggling earlier this year, you kept saying to yourself like, you're playing Terry McLaurin because you kind of have to, right? Unfortunately, there was way too much downside early in the season. Now he's reverting back to form.
Gotcha.
For these Jets running back, Stefania, I felt like last week was not a perfect indication of where things were with Michael Carter and also James Robinson because A, it was James Robinson's first game on the field, and B, they were throwing the football pretty well, except for when Zach Wilson was throwing it to the wrong jersey. Is this, but expect this week to be much better facing this Bills defense?
No, this isn't the week you're looking for,
right?
You know, but I do think that James Robinson maybe gets a little more opportunity just because he's got to get his feet wet in the Jets offense.
They need him. They need him. Yep. That's why they traded for him. Michael Carter, still the clearly higher ranked Jets running back between passing game opportunities, snap share last week, Mike. Seems like for now, it's still Michael Carter. James Robinson, we're not there yet. And it may be that the ceiling for James Robinson is he's got to get 12 touches and a touchdown in order to pay off in fantasy. Mm-hmm.
And Michael Carter has had double-digit touches in all but one game this season, and that was with Breece Hall delivering like top five numbers at the position. So I still feel pretty comfortable with him, at least for this week. I have him 15th on my board if you have Carter. Start him this week, and again, we'll just continue to get a feel for how Robinson's going to be used.
We are going to discuss the Vikings, who are 6-1, hosting the Washington Commanders in just a minute. But first, Stefania, tell us about Geico.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Make Little Caesars the official pizza sponsor of the NFL, part of your game day. Order online during their pizza pregame 1 hour before NFL games and get ready for some football and fun. Choose your favorite Little Caesars pizza or pick the toppings you crave. Either way, you win. And speaking of winning, everyone scores with convenient delivery or their in-store pizza portal pickup. So grab some friends and enjoy a few slices during the tastiest hour before kickoff. Pizza. How'd I do on that? Pizza?
Pizza.
I don't know. Am I as good as Matthew Stafford?
No.
Pizza.
You know, they say sometimes silence is deafening.
Yeah.
No comment from me in terms of how
that's
Mike
the first time
it.
I've attempted that, so that's all right. I'm a rookie. You gotta
some practice. That is an unbelievable piece of acting. Stafford was fine in the commercial, but the actress in the commercial.
Yeah.
That's so good. Pizza, pizza. Come on. Mean it.
She actually is really fun follow on Instagram, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Gwendolyn, I can't remember, so but she does all these 80s interpretations of like 80s movies and 80s dances. She's hilarious.
Awesome. The thing about like the, sorry to get off course here, but like, no, the thing about commercial actors is that, you know, I don't know what level of like prominence or fame they have already reached. Mm-hmm. And there are people who, like, before you knew them on TV or movies, were commercial actors, right, and they were hilarious. And for all we know, like, by the way, like, isn't Jake from State Farm like a jillionaire? Like, the dude's well, worth like,
is that right?
If that's the only commercial he's done, he is.
Yeah, yeah. No, he apparently has made, like, that's all he does.
Yeah. He's wow.
Jake like, from State Farm. That's all he needs to do.
It's, what's her name from AT&T? Same thing.
Oh, Flo?
No.
Oh, that's progressive. Her yeah. too. Yeah.
No, you know what I'm talking about.
AT&T.
With LeBron.
Yeah. Oh, yes, with LeBron. Yeah, I can't
think of her name, right, but you don't need to know it because yeah. she is.
We just got all kinds of new sponsors.
I know. Yeah.
All right, let's move to the Vikings
I'm
and Commanders.
For commercials.
Stefania is available for commercials. If anybody out there selling wine, let Stefania
yeah.
back.
Oh,
just send her some wine.
Hey, I'm your best.
ESPN rap. Address, attention, Stefania Bell. Vikings and Commanders. Let's discuss the lineup blocks, and there are a few from the Minnesota Vikings. Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, T.J. Hockenson, new tight end, who we expect to play on Sunday, obviously being traded on Tuesday means a full week of practice, and Terry McCorn, who's back up inside the top 15 for wide receiver rankings. And no injuries here to report, right, Stefania? Other than I think J.D. McKissick is out on Sunday, or likely to be out for the
yeah,
Commanders.
I expect, you know, Jahan Dotson's still dealing with the hamstring. Do you remember when they were like a week or two? And to his credit, he said, I've never had a hamstring injury before. Don't know really how it's going to react. Still out. Not practicing at all. J.D. McKissick, as you mentioned, out. Logan Thomas still limited, but I feel for Logan Thomas, he really hasn't ever gotten to the ceiling that he can get to since the ACL. So even if he plays, I don't feel great about
him. He had zero catches last week, did Logan Thomas. Obviously playing a different role. So let's dive into some of the players that are question marks here, Mike. And again, good matchup for Kirk Cousins as far as secondary is concerned. Mm-hmm. And he's right there on the QB1 radar.
Yeah, Washington revenge game, by the way. Big revenge game here. Washington, 14 touchdowns, allowed to quarterback, 6 most, 8th highest yards per attempt, right? The efficiency hasn't been good. They're allowing a lot of touchdowns. Here's the thing with Kirk Cousins, though. High floor, low ceiling,
yeah,
right?
Totally.
He has 5 top 12s this season, but he has not gone over 2 passing touchdowns in a game. He did that a bunch. Yeah, he did that a bunch last season. But with the state of quarterback right now, I'd feel just fine plugging him in as my a back end QB1. He's 11th on my board, so 12 team leagues, you're starting him, 10 team leagues is close.
What's the line here, Kyle? Can you check that while we're discussing the rest of the players? I have a thought at the end of this. Adam Thielen, Mike, volume's been in his favor recently. Mm-hmm. He's been solid. He's a borderline wide receiver too.
Yeah, top 30 fantasy receiver in 4 of his past 5. The targets have been good. And Washington, again, they're struggling against the pass. Of course, they're allowing a lot of efficiency to receivers as well. So you're starting him.
I remember some people on the Twitter machine who were victor lapping us after the second game that Brian Robinson played, saying, told you, told you so. This isn't a committee. It's Brian Robinson's job going forward.
People on Twitter?
Brian Robinson, awesome. Love the story. Love the player. So happy to see him doing well. It's not close, it's clear, though, which running back you want to start on Sunday. If you had your choice between all Commanders running backs, and it ain't him, Mike.
No, it's not, and this gets interesting because we don't know if J.D. McKissick's going to play in this game, and if he's out, then both of the other two backs become a little more appealing, right? Especially the passing down work and funneling it to two other guys, but that's mostly going to go to Antonio Gibson, who's actually gotten some decent target volume. So Gibson was essentially the lead back last week. He's going to carry it a bit. He's going to be involved in the passing game. I prefer him. He is a top 20 play for me right now, assuming there's no McKissick here, down a little bit to a flex if he is. And then Robinson, I mean, Minnesota is allowing 3.8 yards per carry to running backs. That is third lowest in the NFL. That's where he's going to make his hay, right? He's running the ball. If he gets slowed there and has 8 for 20 and doesn't score and has 0 targets, he's going to crush you. So I'm with you. He gets a boost with McKissick out, but I don't feel great about it. I like him more non-PPR.
Vikings -3 in this game. Spider sense tells me Commanders cover.
I don't know. I forget what I have on this one. I think I have Minnesota. Yeah, minus the points.
Like 21.7 to
16. I forget. I don't know. I have to check my score on that one. I can't remember, but
I got the
I'll take the Vikings.
Yeah. All right, Raiders, Jaguars here, and let's discuss some of the lineup blocks. And for the Raiders, even how they played last week, there still are some lineup blocks. Josh Jacobs and Devontae Adams. And then on the Jaguars side, Travis Etienne, plus Christian Kirk, who's been actually better over the past couple of games as far as volume is concerned. The volume has been better for Christian Kirk after that sort of slow month or so from like weeks like 4 to 7. Weeks 3 through 6, I should say. Injury fronts to find. There are actually a couple. So Darren Waller still not practicing on a full-time basis.
Still limited in practice. Remember last week, Darren Waller was going to warm up his hamstring. This was Adam Schefter's report. Test it before the game. Came down to a game-time decision. Ended up not playing, even though he had been back doing a little bit of practice. So again, I want to see a full practice on Friday before I feel comfortable. I talked already about how these injuries, they are at the biggest risk for being nagging throughout the season. There's a reason that Darren Waller held back from playing last week. Yeah. And I would be concerned if he's not 100% and he goes out there. I mean, they cannot afford to lose him for the rest of the season. It's already been a tough road for him in the first half of the year. So,
And them, right?
Yeah, but in part due to the fact that he hasn't been available lately. Yes. So I would say let's see what he does Friday. But again, we may not know until the game kicks off.
Just a note too, Devontae Adams Stefania has been on the injury report.
This is important to me because last week he was on the injury report because of an illness. Yep. And then you remember one catch, 3 yards. That's all he had week 8. He had missed 2 practices during the week. Comes back to start this week, back on the injury report because of illness. So maybe part of Devontae Adams' performance last week was was never really 100%. I will say he got in a full practice on Thursday, so it does look like he's trending towards feeling better. But maybe that explains a little bit of what his contribution or lack thereof was last week.
One catch, 3 yards. That was, again, if you filter out games when he was a rookie or second-year player who was just basically out there for running routes and not actually part of the offense, worst game of Devontae Adams' career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hard to figure in a matchup against the Saints.
I don't think
no Marshawn Lattimore.
I clearly don't. I don't think he was 100%. I'm going to say that I think
certainly
that
didn't
was part
that
of it.
Way. Yep. So, Mike, let's discuss then this team because they have been confusing. They have been disappointing, obviously, mm-hmm. at 2-5, one of the bigger disappointments in the NFL so far. You're playing Josh Jacobs. Just awesome all year. You still have to go back to Devontae Adams.
Mm-hmm.
If Darren Waller sits, I feel like I've asked you this question before, and I can't tell if I'm just trying to will it into existence or not. But if Darren Waller sits, are you playing Hunter Renfrow?
No. I don't know how he... You were just talking about last week, and I'm thinking maybe Adams wasn't fully healthy. You know, obviously, he was under the weather, and it was a decoy. But then where was Hunter Renfrow? You'd think, this is the week. Let's get Hunter Renfrow going. That didn't happen either. It was Mac Hollins who... has passed Hunter Renfrow. We're ranking him ahead of Renfrow now, at least I am. Like, he's passed him, he's playing more, he's seeing more targets. By all accounts, he's just beating him out, he's ahead of him. So Hollins is the next guy up, and then Renfrow may be a desperation option, but I don't feel good about it.
So there, I'd have to go through, I could probably write a column that's like things that I would have never guessed that have happened so far this season.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't Hunter Renfrow feel like, what are the strengths of Hunter Renfrow's game? One of the nastiest route runners in all of the NFL, right? Unbelievable hands, reliable, plays out of the slot. How many Patriots wide receivers have we had going all the way back to Troy Brown, who began it? It continued on with guys like Wes Welker and Danny Amendola and Julian Edelman. Mm-hmm. And there were others along the way that did some serious work out of the slot for the Patriots. Josh McDaniels was there for almost all of those guys, and in many cases there during the apex of their career. Hunter Renfrow would have felt like a perfect player for this Raiders offense. I am so surprised he has not been much more heavily targeted.
I can't really explain it. You know, he had the injury early in the season, and for a while you could say maybe it had to do with that, but he's off the injury report now, right? So, yeah, I mean, I can't explain it, especially last week. I thought of all weeks, last week was the one where he gets going.
$32 million this offseason, too. They got an extension. So, I think there are a lot of ways to sort of explain what's gone wrong for the Raiders. It just feels like a lot of their big bets this offseason haven't paid off, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chandler Jones, how many sacks do you have?
Zero? One?
0.5. Making $17 million a year. Hunter Renfrow, $16 million a year. Derek Carr not playing like a guy supposed to make $40.5 million per season. Back on track. We have time here, so this is okay. Trevor Lawrence, Mike, I keep saying this. Guys who are almost on that QB1 radar this week. Is Lawrence there for you?
Yeah, so he's really interesting. He has four games with 18-plus fantasy points this season, so he's had that upside. Now, you look at the last month, okay? They played four games. He only has two passing touchdowns, and that's bad, obviously. But if you look at who he played...
Yeah, bad matches.
Those, they're all bottom 12 in touchdowns allowed, all four defense that he has faced. But he's ran for three touchdowns during this span, so he's made up for that a little bit. So I think he can get back on track. Of course, the key here, though, is my favorite stat of the season. The Raiders have allowed 17-plus fantasy points to every single quarterback they have faced this season. I think Trevor Lawrence joins that conversation this week.
And I believe was last week the first week that they did not allow a top eight quarterback?
Yeah, it was. Dalton and they still allowed really 17. Close, they still allowed like 17 fantasy
11,
points.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
I think it was even a little lower. It was just a high scoring week, but still, still 17 fantasy points in that game. So, and most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks.
That much is for sure. Evan Engram, also on that tight end one radar, he has been, you know, solid so far this season. He has been a tight end that is involved in the passing game. And as we've seen, he's made some nifty catches, good in the red zone, had that touchdown this past week against the Broncos in Jacksonville. I've got him as tight end 9. This week.
Yeah, he only has the one touchdown, so but there's room for more, I think, the way he's utilized, so we'll keep an eye on that. But if he had a couple more touchdowns, we'd be talking about him a little
Kyle
different.
Kyle Pitts in the touchdown department, but, you know, he's
still... Pitts now up to two career touchdowns in the U.S., right?
Soil, yeah. All right, Rams, Bucks. Oh, wow. This game is being played in Tampa. Lineup blocks include some notable and familiar names, but some major, major injury questions we'll get into in just a moment. Cooper Kupp, Tyler Higbee for the Rams. That's it. Leonard Fournette, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans for the Bucks. Where's Tom? Oh, wait. No, Tom Brady is not a lineup lock with how he has played so far this season. But Stefania, if not for Jonathan Taylor, the biggest injury question mark of the week would obviously be Cooper Kupp.
And what do you think is going to happen?
I think he's going to play.
Yes.
Because he's Cooper Kupp.
Because he's Cooper Kupp. And we've talked about this before. I've certainly bragged about his recovery from an ACL injury. Haven't seen many players do it, but he was able to come back and put up numbers in the first year after that because of the way he worked. Well, he's approaching this ankle injury the same way. They had indicated there wasn't any major structural damage. Kept him out of practice on Wednesday. Limited work on Thursday. They've already indicated they expect him to play. This is a natural buildup towards the weekend.
Do we think Kyren Williams will be available on Sunday for the Rams, Stefania?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, their whole running back situation is going to be really interesting because we're talking about Cam Akers maybe being present as well. So I don't know what they're going to do with Kyren Williams yet. They haven't really leaked that.
I think where I've landed with the Rams running backs is that there are basically two outcomes for the rest of the season. One is that Kyren Williams is as good as they hoped for in the preseason, and that he just takes this thing by the neck and has a stranglehold on it, and he is a RB2 the rest of the way once he gets up to speed. Maybe that takes him a game or two.
That's going to be best case scenario for all of us to have clarity, right?
Didn't he have one play?
Open
special teams.
It's not like we've really seen it because poor guy got hurt.
Other door is that no Rams running back is startable for the rest of the season, and that seems like the more likely
that
door
that
we're going
more
through.
Likely. Because that's kind of how they've been all along. Daryl Henderson
and
Cam
Sean
Akers.
McVay. We came into the season telling you, what does Sean McVay love to do? Commit to one running back during the game. For last year, it was Daryl Henderson, and then it was Sony Michel, and then it was during the playoffs. Cam Akers, 5 months off an Achilles tear, he was the guy. This year, Sean McVay, and he talked about this recently, like his approach has kind of changed. He's embracing the multi-back approach, and for fantasy football purposes, that's not helpful.
I think he's embracing it because he
out
has
necessity.
To.
Necessity. Right. I was just going to say that. I don't think it feels very uncomfortable to him, but it's like he doesn't have that. Like, okay, Cam Akers isn't doing this that we expected. Well, you know, Daryl Henderson couldn't hold up to this kind of work. Well, we don't have Kyren Williams. So, like, what are you going
to
do?
By the way, the lead back last week for a long time was Ronnie Rivers, and they kind of turned back to Daryl Henderson. Ronnie Rivers was a practice squad activation. He's back on the practice squad. Now, they could activate him again, but they might not if Cam Akers is going to play. So keep that in mind. If you picked him up during the bye week and you thought, he was our lead back, I'll just throw Ronnie Rivers in my slot. I'm not so sure in my flex. I'm not so sure that he's going to be even activated for this game. Why do you, especially if Kyren Williams is back, he won't be. You don't, they have Malcolm Brown as well. So I would keep an eye on that. We'll find that out Saturday evening if Ronnie Rivers will be activated for that game.
So I've given, let's have some fun here, like a little mini name game again, Mike. I've given you three quarterbacks, and Stefania, I want your thoughts here as well. Three quarterbacks that we've talked about are like nearly on the QB1 radar for this week. If the other alternative was Tom Brady, who would you prefer? Tom Brady or Justin Fields?
I'll go Fields.
Okay.
Oh boy. My, how the mighty have fallen.
I know.
Who are they playing again?
Bucks Rams versus Dolphins, Bears.
And oh, keep Dolphins. In mind, yeah, no, two quarterbacks have gone over 14 fantasy points against the Rams this year. Yeah. They've been pretty feisty.
And Tom Brady's not getting out of the way of Aaron Donald. It's going to be my guess. So I'm going to go with Justin Fields.
Okay. Kirk Cousins or Tom Brady?
Cousins.
Okay.
Just consistent floor.
Trevor Lawrence or Tom Brady?
Lawrence.
I'm going to take Trevor Lawrence.
Okay, gotcha.
So check this out. I noticed this last night. Brady's been, he has 0 or 1 passing touchdowns in 7 of 8 games this year. Last year, it was 5 of 17. Like, he's just not getting the touchdowns. That's really the difference.
Makes no sense. Yeah.
Yeah, they're gone. Like, last year, it was money. 2, 3, 4 touchdowns.
Top
this
5
year,
passing
0
yards.
Or 1 every game.
Top 5 in passing yards, top 2 in attempts, top 2 in completions, mm-hmm. maybe top 3 in completions. But still, the touchdowns are the ones that matter, and they haven't been there for Thomas Brady. Oh, boy. Titans Chiefs play on Sunday night. Can't wait for this game. Two teams that are atop their respective divisions, both at 5-2 as far as lineup blocks go. Derrick Henry, Patrick Mahomes. Believe it or not, Juju Smith-Schuster's really settled into that role over the past couple of weeks. And Travis Kelce, who is Travis Kelce, and with an uncertain Mark Andrews, only fortifies his top spot at the board or on the board more than ever. Injuries to Fanya. There is an important one here, too, actually.
Yeah.
People are saying, Derrick Henry, not practicing? What's going on there?
Yeah, enlisted because of his foot. But before everyone panics, not the same foot. I think Derrick Henry said both his feet are fine. Derrick Henry's fine, and he's going to play.
Yeah, Derrick Henry no is resting there. From carrying the Titans offense for the past month and a half because he has been tremendous. His quarterback, though, Stefania, is a bigger question mark today.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Ryan Tannehill. He's had the ankle. He's had the illness. And I think it's a legit question as whether you have Ryan Tannehill.
Not good because, it's way too soon to have any sort of definitive take on what Malik Willis looks like going forward, Mike. Last week, they threw the ball once in the second half. They didn't really but like, don't you think if, you know, you might let him uncork a few more if you believed he was a bit more capable at this point of his career, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And also if you thought you might need him this week, because he's going to have to throw, right? I don't think, unless Derrick Henry just has a career day and is just running over the Chiefs.
Prone
and It could happen, but the odds are the Chiefs are going to score points in this game, whereas Houston did not, and he's going to have to throw it a little bit, and now we just don't know. So this could be rough.
Your quarterback comes back and for a little bit on Wednesday and then is not there at all on Thursday.
Yeah, how many
just doesn't feel good.
How many Chiefs defenders will be in the box to start the game in
12,
this one?
12.
Oh, yeah.
Those take a penalty.
They don't need free safety.
Put
they're
them
just
all
like,
up there.
They're like, listen, I'd rather take a 5-yard penalty than have him run for 14 yards, right? So that'll be how it goes. Can't wait for this game on Sunday night. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, let's discuss this for a second here because I think the Chiefs starting running back equation has sort of been discussed maybe much more than it matters, Mike.
Yes.
Obviously, there was a report 2 weeks ago that Isaiah Pacheco was now the starting running back and that he was going to take the lion's share, you know, a bigger role, right? Which a bigger role may be true, but it also may not be, as far as fantasy concerns, a big enough role that he all of a sudden becomes the only guy that matters in this backfield. As a matter of fact, if I gave you the choice to choose one Chiefs running back, who would you take?
I would go CEH for a couple of reasons. First of all, he'll probably end up with the most touches and the most likely to score a touchdown catching or running the ball. So I'll give him an edge, but that means he's 29th on my board with eight teams not included here. In that last game you're talking about where Pacheco started, all three running backs, including Jerick McKinnon, were between 17 and 23 snaps. I mean, we want 17 to 23 touches from our guy we're starting, right? Not snaps. 3 straight games under 10 fantasy points for CEH, and they're playing Stefania's 49ers, who have allowed the fewest fantasy points to running backs. They're also allowing 3.3 yards per carry, which is lowest in the NFL. So they've been terrific. It's a bad matchup. They're using 3 backs. Situation to avoid if you can.
Yeah, tread lightly with any Chiefs running back. I think that this has sort of netted out where we expected it to coming into the season, is that you've got multiple pieces involved. They have the opportunity to throw the ball a plenty. That much is for sure. They are apt to throw a tight end screen or to throw the football to an offensive lineman from the 2-yard line or throw the football to
Fortson.
I was going to say Jody Fortson or a security guard to catch a touchdown, right? Like, they'll do something. They will find a way. Noah Gray could take a quarterback sneak from the tight end spot. They just do creative stuff in Kansas City, which they don't have their Derrick Henry, who is going to finish at the goal line more often than not. Monday Night Football is our final game as we are cruising in terms of time here. The game, of course, in New Orleans, and also, of course, being played on ESPN. Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews, if he plays, we'll talk about him in just a moment. Alvin Kamara and Chris Olave are our lineup locks. But boy, Stefania, we had to save some time here because a whole bunch of injuries. Oh, let's do the easier ones first. So Gus Edwards, dealing with a hamstring injury now.
Yeah.
First practice day yesterday. Where was he at?
He was not practicing.
Okay. So it sounds like there's a chance he might not be available
there
come
is
Monday night.
There's still a good chance he's not available.
Okay. So we'll talk about Kenyon Drake in just a moment here, Mike.
This is much easier to look at this whole list versus all my notes.
There's a couple. Rashad Bateman, Stefania, unfortunate news here for the Ravens second year.
Yeah. We talked about this earlier in the week that it sounded like it had gone from a stable midfoot injury to an unstable midfoot injury when John Harbaugh talked about the decision to have surgery. That's an indicator that is exactly what happened. It's typically a several month recovery from this kind of thing. So I would not anticipate Bateman coming back. They didn't want to come out and say it, but he's essentially done for the season.
Okay, so don't expect Bateman for the rest of the year. Mark Andrews, defined, this is a major one, and especially because if you're going to pivot, there are very few options to pivot to on Monday night. Do we think he'll play?
I don't really know, to be honest with you. I mean, this is a thing where Mark Andrews is so tough and he doesn't miss time, but he's had three different injuries over the course of a couple of weeks and not been able to practice at all. Didn't practice on Thursday. Yeah. Now, he's the kind of player that if he can get right by Monday, he'll go. But I think that this could be something that on Sunday, we're still talking about him being questionable.
Tough. Mike, would you pivot on Sunday? Or like, how soon would you pivot if Mark Andrews is your starting tight end?
I think that, assuming we don't have clarity, I think you have options here, right? So first of all, Isaiah Likely is your top option.
Likely, right.
Yeah, if you can get him, which I have a lot of Andrews this year. I got Likely in a few leagues. So there, I'm just waiting it out. You know, it doesn't matter. I can find out 90 minutes before the game, just plug in Likely if Andrews out. That's your number one plan.
Right.
Number two is, you have some options from the Saints, too. They're playing the Saints, right? Taysom Hill and Juwan Johnson are out there in a lot of leagues. So just make sure you have one of those two guys on your bench and scoop one up. Juwan Johnson hasn't had much upside this year. He did score a couple touchdowns in a game in week 7. Taysom Hill had 11 touches last week, right? They're utilizing him more with Andy Dalton in there. With Mark Ingram, he's out. He's going to play a little bit. So his touches have been better. The fantasy production hasn't been as good. But if he gets 11 touches and you get that in your tight end slot, you'll feel fine with that. So at least you have, they're not great options other than Likely, but at least you have somebody you could plug in there.
All right. So let's dive into the wide receivers for the Saints, Stefania. Again, the easier part first. Jarvis Landry returned to practice yesterday, right?
He did, but still limited. I get the feeling that Jarvis Landry is trying to press, but it's a high ankle injury that's problematic. And it looked, if you saw him, he was in great pain when he came off. And this has been a little bit tougher road to recovery than I think he and the team anticipated.
You've had other options because he's been out for a while here. So if you have somebody else that you have been riding in place of Jarvis Landry, sounds like there's a chance you'll be able to do that on Sunday if Landry remains uncertain for Monday. But this is the big one, Stefania, and it's a bummer. It bums me out in a lot of ways. Michael Thomas, who we were talking about yesterday, how there are certain guys, we were discussing the difference between players who have been unlucky and guys who at this point of their career, you kind of have to count on the possibility of them being banged up. Michael Thomas might be sort of the person you think of most, Stefania, and now he's out again for the entire year.
With another type injury. I mean, this is a dislocated second toe. It was finally reported this week that he's going to have surgery on that, and that is going to be the end of the season for Michael Thomas. And, you know, it just, if you wonder, like, how can this be so problematic? If you think about it, you use your toes for push off. And usually we think about a turf toe injury, big toe. That doesn't surprise people. It's been a career ender. That we know to be significant. But for some athletes, the second toe is actually where they get a lot of their push off as well. And if it's unstable, which it clearly was because it was dislocated, now he's having it fixed, you just can't get your push off. And it sounds like Michael Thomas was actually doing all the right things, working very, very hard to come back. There was a lot that was invested in him being able to return. And I think he was doing everything that he was expected to do to try and rehab it. Just wasn't working that he could return to play. Now he has surgery. Ultimately, it will get fixed. They will repair this. But it's a long recovery. It's several months. And you're not going to know until the offseason what he's going to be able to do. It'll be interesting to see what the Saints decide to do with Michael Thomas at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I am not certain of this, but it certainly feels like the most likely outcome is that they have to move on. Because the amount that they would owe him if he potentially is back next year and hurt again it's just not palatable. It's been, unfortunately, just a series of injuries for Michael Thomas after signing that massive extension.
But I will say this. You got a glimpse of what he could still do in that game that he played, mm-hmm. where he was out there and he had a couple touchdowns. So, you know, you can look at it a couple of ways. The injuries have derailed his career the last couple of years, and there were some issues with him and the Saints, obviously, in the early part of that. This year, he's been a better teammate. He's been a better worker with the team. Everybody has had glowing reports, and you saw that he still got it, and he's going to have fresh legs because he won't be beat up from playing football. Yeah. So he may get another opportunity, but I agree with you. I think it's likely that it won't be in New Orleans.
Just bombs you out. On our group thread last night, we were talking about the value of Michael Thomas in Dynasty. Like, what do you do for a player who's going to be 30 soon if he isn't already and multiple years of barely playing? What a bummer. Chris Olave show on Monday night. That's what I can tell you as far as the Saints running wide receivers are concerned. Let's just visit a couple things here to end, Mike. If Gus Edwards is out, how much value is there in Kenyon Drake, in your opinion?
Well, he's had exactly 11 touches in three straight games, so I guess that's his value, right? Yeah, I mean, they're very consistent with how they're utilizing him, and they like Justice Hill, so he'll have some involvement here as well. Drake is 24th on my board, and that assumes Gus Edwards is out, so he's a flex option. I would not start Justice Hill, but I think Drake is getting enough work and playing well enough, getting involvement in the passing game, that you could fire him up.
If you're watching right now, my Kenyon Drake rank does not include having already removed Gus Edwards. So once Gus is out, Drake will go up. I still had Gus in there as we're a little bit earlier on in the practice week for the Ravens with a Monday night game. Last one here, Mike, is Devin Duvernay, who, with Bateman out for the rest of the season, you would think kind of has to be their wide receiver one, right?
I think so, but we just haven't seen him.
Wide receiver one.
Yeah, right. They don't necessarily have one, right? Mark Andrews, I guess if Andrews is out, that probably helps him a little bit. But I mean, Isaiah Likely just stepped right into that role last week. He does have three top 30 finishes this week, so there's been some startability here for Devin Duvernay. But Duvernay, why do I keep doing that?
Yeah.
Last week, 64 yards and a touchdown on six touches in that game. So he's given you a flex-worthy floor. There's not a lot of ceiling there, and that's how you can view him in this game.
Man, this is just such a bummer for the Ravens, because I had high hopes for Rashad Bateman. I think they did, too. They traded away Hollywood Brown. I mean, just no fun.
I mean, you could tell Lamar Jackson was like, that's my guy. Like, he was definitely sad about that. You know, they had big plans, and sometimes injuries just come along and derail it. So,
by the way, guess who's back on Monday Night Football this week? DeSean Jackson.
Oh my gosh.
Expected to make his debut for the Ravens, and of course it's Monday Night Football.
Wow, how about that? Is he really?
Yeah, the report is they're gonna activate him from the practice squad and he'll make his debut
that's
in this game.
Right,
so a 62 yard touchdown or something?
Oh my god, totally would expect that.
Yeah, he will totally have the big play touchdown and then he'll pull a hammy.
Hold on. I know, I hope not.
But, I'm gonna read this. I might need to desperate times. You know what? Let me just read this question, Kyle. And you guys discuss it while I see if I can grab DeSean Jackson in a league where I am so desperate.
I don't know that he's going to play a lot, but I'm not saying start him, by the way.
You're swinging for the fences.
All right, so the options here. Here's a trade. This comes from Alvin. It's a big trade. Alvin the chat. Alvin's the man. Alvin Kamara and George Kittle in exchange for Kenneth Walker III and Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Who is the second player of the first part?
Alvin Kamara and George Kittle.
I mean, it depends on. Yeah, I would do it. I would do it. I think you're downgrading. You're downgrading at running back a little bit, but maybe not. You know, that's not for sure. Walker's been awesome, but I would imagine that'll be downgrade because what Kamara does in the passing game, and then going from Kittle, who's been very inconsistent as a tight end, to Amon-Ra, who's a mid-range wide receiver one. I'll take that all day. You know, so. Yeah, I mean, you have to think about what your wide receiver and tight end situation is, but on the surface, I love that.
By the way, having a little exchange with Jameson Hensley, who covers the Ravens for us. He agrees that Isaiah Likely is biggest beneficiary with Rashad Bateman down, but also said that it's really hard to read on the Mark Andrews situation right now, but reminder that the Ravens have a bye after this week. Ooh, yeah. So if he's struggling, that could certainly play into it.
Just make sure you have a backup plan there.
I don't like soapbox, we have a few minutes left here. I think NFL teams going into their bye should always be Sunday into a bye the following Sunday. The Ravens get one less day in their bye than other teams do.
Yeah.
Also, I don't like when teams get they play Sunday, have a bye, and then go all the way until the following Monday. I don't like that either. I don't like that.
Anyway, we need to get you on the committee.
Sure, a complaint. Yeah,
I'm going to get you on the.
I've got another box, a complaint box. The NFL trade deadline should be later than it is.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I agree with
it
that.
Should be like 3 weeks from now.
I know.
Like teams are
like further Thanksgiving
than...
feels
yeah,
like a good
like, don't
time.
You think like yeah. wouldn't you like to have a little bit more information on whether your team is good or not? Especially this year, there are so many teams that are...
also with injury situations. Like you see that you're potentially going to the playoffs. That would be a great time to be able to pick somebody.
What
else
if up? The Rams are 3-8?
Yeah,
in 3 weeks. And I'm not. I'm just saying, as an example of a team that's season is not, or maybe the what if the Colts are 3-7-1? Like they'd probably be like, well, we should be more aggressive moving off some pieces.
I think
right?
if there was less parity, that they would do that. But there's still a ton of parity anyway, right? Right. Like even teams that can't, you know, be sellers at the deadline still can turn things around, you know, or vice versa. So I think that's the reason why it's just yeah. not necessarily necessary in the NFL.
Great stuff from both Mike and Stefania, as always. Check them on Fantasy Football Now this Sunday morning. We'll get you ready. And a heads up, show begins on ESPN News, New York City Marathon. Good luck to all those out there that are running.
My friend's daughter is running. One of my college roommates, her daughter is running
Let's
New York City Marathon.
Good
Let's
luck.
Go,
hey, it's not how long it takes you, just whether you finish the race or not. Best of luck to her and everybody out there running. We'll see you probably around 11:30 on ESPN2, but ESPN News up until that point. Good luck. Get your lineup set. And Mike, say it. Go Phillies.
Go Phillies.
There you go.
Come back time.
Come
back
time. Let's
go. Two in a row.
That was the kiss of death.
We'll talk to you guys
not a baseball
late
fan.
Sunday night.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us with advice that we really trust. Always there to help. She's not a coach. She's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.